a few weeks ago, and you'll turn again to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to see faith under fire. Ever felt your faith was being tested and that it was under fire? Well, Elijah's was, and so was that of the widow. And so many people of God in our day find that they're in exactly that same position. Both knew, I believe, something of God. Certainly Elijah to a greater degree. Elijah's faith had led him to Cherith, the place of cutting, and then to Zarephath, the place of refining. And here the Lord had blessed him and blessed the widow and her son as well. The widow's faith had caused her to believe in an unknown, a man named Elijah, and to give him as she would have given to God, "Make me a little cake first." And she did, and God blessed her for it. Now, things were going well in the little home in Zarephath. God had blessed. The barrel of meal, it says in verse 16, wasted not, wasn't consumed. There was always a supply for today, and God blessed the dear widow. There was a never-ending supply, really, until in the goodness of God, the rains came, and then there was no more. They waited for the day, as we concluded yesterday. The crews failed. The crews of oil failed not. What a delightful evidence of the faithfulness of our God and His supply. Really, couldn't ask for anything better in that home of Zarephath. Things were going great. They had food. They enjoyed the company of one another. Possibly that little lad, the son of the widow, was a joy to them. My, things were coming up roses. But then there was a day when, sadly, the roof fell in. And the delight of that little home was taken. Let's read about it as we go to 1 Kings 17 and verse 17. We'll read 16 for connection. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. She said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? He said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil or hurt upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. And as we look out upon the fine company assembled here, we realize that the needs of the saints are varied. We just pray that you'll draw near and meet the need of each one for thy glory. And thy glory alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems to me in the passage that we have read, we have the collapse of faith on the part of the woman. And then we have the confidence of faith as we see it in Elijah. I wonder in which category you and I fall. I'm sure that at times we've moved from one to another, as it seems that the tests of life become so severe and so demanding. But in the collapse of faith, what does she say in verse 18? Simply this, what have I to do with thee? The trial of faith had come, and she was going to experience it. I want you to notice that the trial of faith came to that dear woman, as no doubt it has come to many of us. Certainly has to Helen and me. Very, very suddenly. It's a call on the telephone. It's the voice of someone speaking to you and sharing with you a broken heart. Something has happened. And what a serious situation it is. It was a sudden situation. Why? The little fellow had become sick, and that sickness, as we read, was unto death. Trial was doubly severe. This woman, who had lost her husband, now lost the nearest and dearest to her. She lost her son. No doubt, in rapid fire succession, thoughts ran through her mind. And possibly among them there would be the thought, well, once again, I'll have to take that long, lonely walk out to the community cemetery and lay at the side of my dear husband, the little lad I deeply and dearly love. In this one were centered all her affections, but now all her hopes had been destroyed. Oh, there had been a time back in verse 12 when she had spoken with a great deal of composure about possible death. Remember when she greeted Elijah, she said, why, we've just got enough here to make a little cake, and I'm going to cook it, and then my son and I will die. Somewhat matter of fact. But when the experience finally gripped her, and when the little lad was now limp in her arms, and she realized that he had died, it was a totally different situation. There was no time to pray. He was gone. I remember being in a conference in the Midwest several years ago, and the saints were rejoicing because a sister in the assembly had had the blessed experience of her husband trusting Christ. And now they were going on for God. Sunday afternoon, and he had felt that he had to stay home and do some chores. And as he drove his tractor, it tipped over with him underneath it. And she got word at the conference that he was gone. A sudden call. Instant heartbreak. Now, what to do? To seek to pray for comfort and strength, and then eventually to pull the pieces of life back together and try to go on for God. But the suddenness, the shock of it all, how tragic. It's sudden. But then in this case, it was singular. Notice, it was her trial. No one else could go through it for her. If others had lost their children, possibly she would be able to go to them and console them and help them. And now, would she have similar help? Thank God she did in the person of Elijah. But beloved, so often in these situations, you and I must go through them alone. There is that special agony, that deep heartbreak that only the principals in the situation know and go through. That was the case with this dear woman of Zarephath. Some time ago, Helen and I went through such a situation, as you have. And there was one text of Scripture which gave us so much comfort. And many a night, after we had bowed together at the edge of the bed, we went to sleep with Psalm 50 and 15 on our mind. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee.
and thou shalt glorify me. Notice there are three parts to that verse. And we, in the goodness of God, have come through all three. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Secondly, I will deliver thee. Thirdly, thou shalt glorify me. What a promise. That even after the situation, heartbreaking though it was, we were able, with others of God's people, to glorify him. And that's exactly what happened here in 1 Kings chapter 17. In times of sorrow, how wonderful it is to have those who will pray with you. Not to lecture you. Not to come and quote a series of verses, helpful though that may be on occasion. But just to sit and to listen and to comfort by their very presence. Little girl was telling her mother that her little girlfriend with whom she played had lost her dog. And she said, Mary was heartbroken. Mother said, honey, what did you do? Oh, she said, I just sat with her. And when she cried, I cried. See, she was able to identify with her. And just by her presence there, she was a help and a blessing. Someone has said that a burden shared is a burden halved. How wonderful to know that when situations such as in the home in Zarephath happen, there are those that we can call. I remember in the situation to which I've already made reference, I got on the phone to my fellow elders and I asked, would they please meet with me to pray? They did. One brother had such a terrible case of laryngitis, I wondered if the prayer ever got above the ceiling. But God heard, and God answered, and God blessed. Thank God for saints who are ready to pray and to be a part of the situation that's heartbreaking as it may be. I sought the Lord, said the psalmist in 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. Those words have an interesting meaning. They mean a storehouse full of fears. Sometimes, maybe we've gone through those kinds of experiences. And it seems that the fears are enclosed in a large warehouse or a storehouse. And it's full of them. But what does the psalmist say? Why? He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from my storehouse of fears. Thanks be to God. He does, and he will continue to do so. It was a sudden experience, this collapse of faith. It was singular. Interestingly, the entire event was for one purpose, the glory of God. God had a plan. This was the place of refinement, remember, Zarephath. And not only was the servant of God to be refined, but so was this Gentile widow who had lost her son. They both were to go through the healing and the refining process, both the servant and hopefully the saint. God, who could fill a barrel with meal and a flask with oil, could he not fill a body with life? Well, we know the end of the story as we continue to that point. And know, pardon me, that he would. But many a broken-hearted mother has been encouraged by another mother who puts her arm around her shoulder and says, my dear, I know. I've been there. I've been right where you are. And as God met my need, he'll meet your need. And so, we take courage in knowing that our God loves and our God cares. Peter made reference to him the other evening as he wrote to the scattered saints throughout Asia Minor. He said in 1 Epistle chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Again, that word strange has an interesting meaning. Simply means this, as if some uninvited guest has invaded your life, brought heartbreak. Oh, says Peter, although you may be heartbroken, think it not strange that these things should happen unto you, because there's a God who loves and cares and meets the needs of his beloved people. God was applying the yet-to-be-revealed truth, I believe, of Romans 8:28, to which we made reference the other evening. But then, in verse 18, notice what is said there. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Putting it another way, it could read this way. And she said unto Elijah, what have you got against me? What was she doing? She was, in effect, blaming not only the servant of God, but the servant's God. She was blaming him for what had happened to her. She likely asked, does God really care? What have I done to deserve this? Why has this happened to me? I think of a young woman that Helen and I know well. In her 50s, God took her husband from her side. This has to be 8 years ago or more. And I believe she's still bitter at what God did. That's sad. Full recovery does not take place with that kind of an attitude. But God, in his goodness, would meet the need of this dear woman just as he will meet the need of every child of God. When her faith collapsed, what happened? She remembered her sin. What was her sin? I don't know, and it's not my liberty to speculate. God knows. But so often, if you are like me, times of adversity cause us to think back and say to ourselves, is there anything in my life that must be put right? Is there anything wrong here? Is the Lord in his own gracious but chastening way seeking to bring me in line with his will, plan, and pattern for me? She remembered her sin, and she knew that God knew what it was. Was he speaking to her? But then God knows all about your life and mine, and it's his desire that our lives be in line with his plan and pattern for us. And God uses trials and difficulties to remind us of our wayward wanderings and to draw us back to himself. Isn't our God good? He still wants the best for us. And at times, the truth of the word, those the Lord loves, he chastens. He just corrects. He brings them back into line with his purpose. Psalmist could say in 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, that you and I, before problems and difficulties arise, might have that kind of an attitude. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lamentations we read in 340, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Beloved, God uses trials for self-examination that you and I might be in the current of his will. Oh, that that luxury of being in his will might be our happy and our blessed experience. Let us not be weary, says Paul, in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, regardless of the difficulty. It's God's desire that you and I not faint and grow weary. There was on the part of this dear widow the collapse of faith. But then notice the confidence of faith. I love the words of Elijah. Notice them with me in verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. I think I see the man of God. And he puts out his arm, and he takes the burden that was the portion of the widow of Zarephath, and he makes it his own. Then he goes up into the loft of the little house. There he takes the lad, having assumed responsibility for him, and he goes into the presence of God. What was he doing? He was taking that burden from that mother. Then he was going to take that burden to his God. And he was going to leave him there to see God's power and presence displayed. He too was likely deeply moved at the death of the little fellow. I'm confident that there were times when Elijah enjoyed the merriment that that boy brought to the home. But he's gone. And Elijah is moved. But with confidence he says, "Give me thy son." And off he goes into the presence of God. His is a confidence in God. And I believe, beloved, it was a confidence that was experienced because of what had happened at Cherith and Zarephath. Again, those experiences strengthened his confidence in his God. And so he would go into his presence seeking God's blessing. It was a faith that was calm even when the blows fell. But then it was a faith that rested when God's plan could not be seen. Elijah did not know the outcome. The final chapter hadn't been written, but Elijah knew his God, and he was prepared to take this problem, this difficulty, this heartbreak to God with a confidence that it would be answered in God's permissive will. There's many a child of God has taken the heartache of a seriously ill child into his presence, and in their wisdom they have said, "Father, thy will be done." Maybe God didn't answer as we wished. I remember talking to a mother and father. Their son had been involved in a car crash. Actually, his car was hit by a train, and they pled with God. They pled with God on only one ground: raise our boy to health and strength. He did, but his mind was gone. He got into all kinds of difficulty after that broke their heart, even landed the lad in prison. If only they had said, as they told us, if only we had said, "Lord, your will be done." And so here is Elijah as he goes into the secret place with his burden and that of the dear widow. His faith rested in God's plan, a plan that he couldn't see. And faith would not be faith, of course, if we could see the end. We must be resolutely set upon the one that has saved us, made us his own, and promised to bless, keep, and care. Remember again, it was by faith Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, went his way with God into a land of which he knew nothing to obtain an inheritance. He obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. And yet he went to a place of blessing. Now faith is the substance, as the Hebrew writer. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so it was with confidence Elijah asked for the boy. And he did so knowing that God, if it was his permissive will, could work in his life. Are there those things that we should be crying to God about? I know that there is on the heart of every child of God here this morning some area of concern, be it a physical malady, be it an unsaved relative, a friend, be it a family concern of some nature. Oh, beloved, let me plead with you in the name of my prayer-answering God to go into his presence as did Elijah. And then God would take that problem that Elijah laid before him, and then he could work. What did he do? Why, verse 20, it says, he cried unto the Lord. Elijah's faith took him into the place where he had previously met with God. He knew he could count on meeting God there. Prayer, as we mentioned earlier in our study, was just not an occasional experience with Elijah. Elijah was a man of prayer. He prayed, and he prayed again that it might not rain. But in between those two prayers, I believe with all my heart, there were numerous occasions, and this being one, when he knew what it was to cry to his God. He said to God, "Oh, have you brought me here to see the death of this son that once you saved from death?" Verse 20. I believe with all my heart that this little fellow died just the same way and for the same reason that Lazarus died in John chapter 11. Remember what the Savior said? This is for the glory of God. And so it was, that glory might be brought to the God of heaven. Elijah's faith led him to the throne of grace, and so up to the loft and kneeling down at the edge of the bed therein, he pled with God. Let us, therefore, go boldly unto the throne of grace that we might find grace to help in time of need. There was a human life involved. But beloved, what is more important, you and I know of souls that are involved, eternal souls that need to know life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Elijah do? Notice verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." He prayed. He pled with God to answer his prayer and give to that child his life again. Then he did something strange and unique. He stretched himself out upon the child three times. There's that little fellow under the big frame of a grown and mature man. Three times he laid himself upon the child. I wonder, did he try or attempt some form of resuscitation? I don't know. But I do know that this man was prepared to totally identify himself with the deceased. He was prepared to identify himself with the object of his prayer, and he did it three times over. What a passionate plea. I like another rendering of this verse. It says he stretched himself upon the lad. Another rendering puts it, and he measured himself by the lad three times. I believe what Elijah realized as he did. I'm totally incapable. I am totally incapable. If this boy is to be raised from death, count Elijah out. He can't do it. But God can. And so in total dependence upon him, he left himself open to God and to God's will and God's will alone. No one previously had been raised from the dead. But then he pled, let this child's soul or his life come back to him again. Seemed an impossibility. And so may your problem and mine. But when placed in the hands, beloved, of a sovereign God, God alone knows what will be accomplished. It was Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to India, who said, "Ask great things of God, expect great things from God." May that be your experience. Salvation of a precious soul is humanly impossible. But when God is given the responsibility to deal with that soul, then we look forward to seeing that individual saved for his glory. The problems of the saints may seem impossible, but then again, God is able. Notice, victorious faith is honored by God. Life was given to that lad. He revived. What a joy that must have been to the servant of God. When finally, the eyes begin to blink. And once again, the body that had lain limp on the bed begins to vibrate and pulsate with new life. The boy is alive. And what happens now? Why, the man of God takes that same bundle now of life, no longer of death. He goes downstairs and delivers him to his mother. Somebody says, "You know, Arnett, I wish I had that kind of faith." You know what? So do I. So often I have to identify myself with a man in the Lord's presence. The man who came to the Lord and he said, Lord, I believe, I do. Help thou my unbelief. There's part in here, and it finds it so hard to believe you're able. Please help my unbelief. Beloved, he's anxious to do so, and to bless and help us as we in our weakness constantly seek his care and blessing. What did he do? Verse 23, he delivered him to his mother. Not only did she rejoice, I'm confident her faith was restored. I'm confident that as the news had gone through that little community at Zarephath, that the widow's son had died, what joy there must have been when the word went forth, he's alive. He's alive in the goodness of the God of Israel. He's alive. What joy and confidence. Again, I go back to Lazarus. You remember, they came to the house, why? To see the Lord, and also Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. What joy. He was alive. Best of all, like others, God had helped and blessed, and she saw her faith renewed in a prayer-answering God. She no doubt would now be under observation, this Gentile widow. God had blessed her. And she could stand firm and confident in the fact that God had heard prayer, and God had answered prayer. Beloved, he still does. I well remember Jean coming to me and saying, Arna, would you come and visit Bill? He's got cancer. I went to visit Bill, a man of about 50 years of age. First time I did, he told me an off-color story. But as the disease began to take its toll and Bill became worse and worse, then his seriousness and his interest in spiritual things increased. He was now coming down to the wire. Not too many days left. Still in his sins. Jean responded to my knock at the door. She told me of his serious condition. I said, Jean, I'll go up to see him. You stay here and pray. Jean did. And God worked. And Bill Robertson put his trust in Christ. What a joy. I will never forget walking down those stairs. I'm sure Elijah must have thought the same way. I said, Gene, go visit Bill now. He just trusted the Savior. And that dear sister in Christ, tears coursing down her cheeks, grabbed hold of the hand railing, and up she went. What joy. Why? God had given life, spiritual life, to Bill Robertson. Beloved, our God still answers prayer. May I encourage you, and may you encourage me, to be much in prayer, to see the God of Elijah work in the hearts and lives of those we hold dear. May it be so, for his name's sake, shall we pray. Father God, we thank thee for thy love this morning. Thank thee for thy goodness, mercy, and care. We just pray that the people of God might know the strength that comes alone from fellowship with thee. May the preciousness of the word be real and dynamic to us, we pray, in our Savior's precious and ever worthy name.